Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake, sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Good morning, happy Friday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Early Break, full show ahead, lots to get to. Nebraska plays Indiana tomorrow. We'll get some, we'll get to some comments as you broke the microphone again from Trev Alberts. Remember, you can't yank on that thing. That was probably poorly worded there. You cannot yank on the microphone, excuse me.
I'm just going to do, yeah. Can you go to mic?
Yeah, that's mic one. But, yeah, we'll fix that during the break. You can always call or text 402-464-5685. Watch and comment on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. Again, this show is sponsored by Gaina Trucking. Are you all right over there? Are you okay?
Rocky start.
Okay, now you're good.
Off to a rocky start off the air. Off to a rocky start on the air. I'm not going to say what you said off the air.
Yeah, I don't want to get in that argument.
I'm not going to say it.
So we will get to plenty of talk about Nebraska football as they prepare for Indiana tomorrow, trying to get Mickey Joseph's first win as interim head coach at a 6:30 kickoff tomorrow night. However,
go ahead.
Before that, I mean, the news of the day across the entire sports landscape deals with my favorite NFL football team, which played last night. The Miami Dolphins lost to the Bengals, Cincinnati Bengals, 27-15 last night on Thursday Night Football. But the main story of the game is that late in the second quarter, the Dolphins are driving about just past midfield. And I believe either the previous play or the play before, or the play right, or two plays before, Tua took a low shot to his ankles, got up just fine, and played on. Now, either the next play or two plays later, they have a play action. He rolls out, mm-hmm. can't find anybody, mm-hmm. waits forever in the pocket, mm-hmm. gets blasted. Mm-hmm. No penalty, which I'm fine with it. People can say it was a big hit, but I thought it was legal. Okay. And gets knocked to the ground, and his fingers go like this, and that's called fencing, I guess, in the term of concussion protocol there.
His fingers look like that?
It looked like he was catatonic for a second. But it was a terrifying scene. Now, he's on the field for at least 5, 6, 7 minutes before they took him off on a stretcher, went to the hospital.
Jeez.
He had neck and head injuries. And by the end of the day, I mean, he was released from the Cincinnati hospital and flew home with the football team. So at initial stuff, initial tests that he had all feeling in all extremities, which of course is the main concern there. The first thing, he's fine. He can move. He was walking and talking and smiling in a neck brace before the team left for Cincinnati. So the question is,
before the team left Cincinnati?
Yeah, team left Cincinnati to go back to Miami.
Yeah, before Miami.
Now, the question of all this is, it goes back to last Sunday when the Dolphins played the Bills. And if you recall, late in the second quarter again, Dolphins are deep in their territory. And Matt Milano, the linebacker for the Bills, again, I didn't think it was a dirty hit by him either. He pushed Tua down. It wasn't like he was malicious. And Tua falls backward and appears to see his head snaps and hits the ground. And he gets up and he falls down. He's wobbly. Everyone assumes he has a concussion, right? That's the assumption by all the Twitter doctors out there that say, oh, it's a concussion. See what I get to? I'm saying the Twitter doctors. Everyone's an expert when they were watching these games without actually being in the locker room mm-hmm. for the testing. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that that he's out for the game. He comes back for the second half last week. Mm-hmm. Looked fine in doing so. They claim it was a back injury, that he also banged up his ankle. It was a couple injuries. It wasn't concussion related. And then when this injury happens last night, people think, oh my God, the Dolphins really shouldn't have rushed him out there because he did have a concussion. Mm. And I would say this, Mike McDaniel, if you listen to postgame, the Dolphins head coach was very adamant, saying, why when the hell would I rush a quarter? Why would I rush anybody back? This is his first time as a head coach. You think he wants to risk his career by making a mistake like that and saying rush through protocols and let him play?
I wouldn't think.
I know that everyone out there wants to make the Dolphins the victim in this, and that they're the problematic organization. You know, all the stuff this offseason of tampering with Tom Brady, tampering with Sean Payton. It's easy to bag on the Dolphins. I get it. It's a typically losing franchise. They find weird ways to lose games. They have not been the model of success for a long time in the NFL.
Ooh, you are not happy with this.
My point is this. As we all know in this society, this day and age, Zip, on Twitter, everyone is easy to say people are guilty or things are bad before hearing all the sides of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Mike McDaniel was asked several times. I watched the post game last night to see how he'd respond.
How was it? What was he asked?
I mean, obviously the guy was somber because, number one, the team lost. Number two, yeah, it was a tough situation with this quarterback, and he kept saying it was a concussion this time, for sure, concussion. So we'll see how long the protocols take. By the way, on the same team, former Husker Seathan Carter has been in a concussion protocol for 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. So he's been out the last 3 weeks. So we'll see
they might take Tua out for 3 weeks.
Well, we will see. Again, they don't play for 10 days. He will not. I would be stunned if he played against the Jets on next Sunday. But the point.
I'm starting to understand why you're in a bad mood.
The point, yeah, I'm in a terrible mood. The point is this.
Why what you said what you did about Zach? I'll just
well Zach that. Taylor. I'd say this if you listen to the Bengals fans, they were booing him at times for his play calling. So that's not just me. The Bengals fans were booing their own head coach's play calling, which I also thought was very suspect. Despite them winning the football game, the Bengals won. They look like an average team to me, but they won the game. I don't want to make this about the Bengals. It's about the Dolphins and their handling of Tua Tagovailoa. I would say this. You might say, well, you're just defending your team. Well, I kind of am, because everyone's attacking the team and assuming they did everything wrong in the handling of Tua Tagovailoa.
So the assumption is, what are they being accused of?
They're being accused of basically malpractice at halftime last week and saying they rushed through or didn't do concussion protocol on Tua, where they were adamant post-game that they did.
Okay.
And they have and Mike McDaniel said, no, there's an independent specialist that specializes in brain matter.
So,
and he cleared him.
The issue is then the worst-case scenario happened to Mike McDaniel last night. Tua got hit.
Right.
And he's laying on the ground with his
because
his fingers doing weird
because
stuff.
The question going in was should Tua be playing in
right.
the game?
And
all the Twitter experts say, he should be playing because it was a concussion. They're lying. They're saying it wasn't a concussion.
Are you sure the Twitter experts are wrong here?
I don't know. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to give the Dolphins the benefit of the doubt where nobody else is. If Mike McDaniel, again, a brand new head coach, is saying that, why would I ever go against the protocols, especially for a head injury? If, of course, we wanted to make sure that he was cleared to play. He was cleared to play.
Okay.
And Tua wanted to play, by the way. It's not like you forced your quarterback in the game.
Okay.
Tua spoke to media this week. If you have a concussion, you don't always speak to media. He spoke to media. He seemed fine. Besides having, you know, his back is banged up. His legs are banged up a little bit. There, if there was wrongdoing with the Dolphins, I will come back here and I will eat crow. If the NFLPA and their investigation...
Are they going to do it? Are they
investigating? That was going to happen before this game even happened. It's going to take a week or two. If they find wrongdoing, I will come back here and eat crow. But I will also defend the team before they are found guilty. Because you're supposed to be innocent before proven guilty in this society. Right?
Yes.
And I will.
I hear you.
I will be that guy.
I don't know what to think about all this. This is sort of wild. This is why the Dolphins have gone through a wild period.
Well, yeah, this is sad because, you know, the Dolphins are actually they're experiencing success. You know, they won the first three games against the Patriots, Ravens, and Bills, and then they had this primetime game.
Now I know you were
I'm in a horrible mood. Yeah,
you were edgy when I walked
in. Yeah, I am
talking
edgy.
About Zach. I don't mind saying it. You're fine. I'm not gonna talking about Zach.
Hey, his own fans were booing him. And I know Cincinnati can be a rough place. Like the Cleveland and Cincy can be in Ohio can be rough places to their teams. If anything is going south, despite your team was in the Super Bowl last year, Cincinnati. Zach Taylor won the football game. I thought he had a very questionable way of attacking the Dolphins defense, especially with the fact that your top cornerback, Xavien Howard, was at best maybe 60%, and he didn't even play the fourth quarter. And then you have a rookie undrafted free agent as the other starting cornerback last night because Byron Jones is still out. They kept trying to run the football, and they kept getting stuffed. I said, thank you, Zach. Keep running the football and keep getting stuffed. So, again, to just reemphasize this.
It'll be okay.
The Twitter doctors might be right when all is said and done, but they might not be.
Do you ever consider staying off Twitter?
I honestly, last night I really should have because it just pissed me off.
Did it?
Yeah. Now, I would say this. Now, if you can call me a hypocrite over here. If this was anybody but the Dolphins, if it wasn't my team, I don't know if I'm defending that team as much.
Don't go too far with that.
I don't know if I'm going to say.
No, you wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't be.
You wouldn't. I mean, that's
but good again. I list McDaniel said very several times. Like, why would I rush through the protocol to make sure my guy comes back in the game? That I'm a new head coach. That's about the worst thing you could possibly do for your future.
Ooh, that is tense.
Right?
That's a rough first few games for McDaniel.
Well, they're 3-1.
But I mean, to deal with this though.
Yes, it is.
Because he's being accused of
exactly
basically using a player.
Absolutely, he's being accused of. Contributing to malpractice,
right,
essentially.
Right. Exploiting a player.
Sure.
Oof.
And I kept seeing people saying that Tua should sue the Dolphins. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, what if there's
Tua was not forced to play. Tua wanted to play.
What if there's long-lasting injury?
That's what we're going to see the next few weeks. I mean, this could be a long injury. I don't know when he comes back. Like,
I mean,
it sounds
a little rough from what you've described.
It is rough. It's not a great situation. There's nothing good about the situation at all. The good thing is that he was able to walk and talk, and he flew back with the team. Is this nothing in terms of, hey, we have serious paralysis we're talking about?
Right.
I mean, they're all feeling everywhere. Every feeling in all of parts, all extremities.
God dang, it points up how brutal that sport is, though. He's on the field for 5 minutes.
It might have been more than that, his fingers were like this.
Ooh, that's the nightmare scenario
and
for McDaniel.
That's called fencing. That's a concussion thing.
That's a nightmare scenario for McDaniel.
Now again, it is.
It is.
It's a nightmare.
Sure after what happened last week,
right?
Then have that. Oof. I can see why people are reacting, fairly or unfairly, and you know, you maybe should stay off the Twitter machine.
I may. But
why are you on there?
Because you want your news. You want to see what the reaction
is. No, but during the game. Oh, yeah. Well, I get that, too.
Oof. Well, I was on it during that period to see what the reports were, what the updates were. Is the quarterback going to be okay in terms of paralysis? Is he paralyzed? I'm curious about that. But he was fine there, and he flew back to Miami. So, obviously, it wasn't the worst thing. I mean, he's going to be probably out for a few weeks, I'm assuming. We'll see what happens. But my point is, again, I know you want to attack, this is listeners and the world. I know you want to attack the Dolphins and say that they're a bunch of morons and they mishandled the situation. That's your own problem. I choose to believe that the doctors did their job and cleared him.
It's your team.
Yeah, it is my team.
Is everybody attacking them?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Of course, because they believe the Dolphins lied about the concussion on Sunday.
What was Herb Street saying?
Well,
were you listening?
Nothing. Yeah, I was listening, but it was kind of in my own world at that point because I was concerned about number one, the game, or number one, two, and then number two, the game. I want to win the game still. And I don't believe in Teddy Bridgewater, who threw a horrible pick in the fourth quarter, which I was right about. He was okay besides that, but he threw a horrible pick to end of the game. Horrible, horrible pick. Deep in Bengals territory. But that's not the point of the game. They lost. And Tua is hurt. And people could say that the Dolphins were wrong about bringing it back against Buffalo.
That's a tricky situation. I'm not judging.
And again, it was, you're right, though. This is the worst possible thing that could have happened to Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins, with everyone questioning him already playing in the game or coming back against Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And then he gets another, it is another, or just the first one, but for sure, a concussion last night.
Oh, man.
With a hard hit on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Head snaps fingers are fencing.
This is the kind of thing that can wreck an organization.
Yep.
It is. Let's be honest.
But again, we'll see what the investigation from last week leads to.
Ooh, it gets
tricky. And I would tell you, if they find that there was issues and it was not done correctly, I will come on the show and I will eat crow. I'll say, all right, I chose to believe the organization and the head coach. I'm going to do that right now until I'm wrong, until I'm proven wrong.
That's tricky, though. I mean, he could have signs of brain trauma couldn't he have brain trauma that was incurred weeks ago?
Yes.
You know, see, I don't know what an investigation is going to turn up in terms of settling this issue, like settling it for once and for all. I don't know if I'd expect that, right? Because it's tricky.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you're not going to look at a brain scan and say, "Yep, there it is." See, they shouldn't have played him. I don't think it's going to work like that.
I'm with you.
Because he might have more. He might have incurred more damage last night.
Yes.
You know.
Right.
And when did the damage occur? I don't think there's going to be the findings are going to settle this matter necessarily.
I'm with you.
I just wonder when you're going to get Tua back.
I do as well. I mean, obviously, his health is the number one priority, and we hope that everything is done
properly.
That's
what people are hoping.
That's my hope still. I want the kid to be healthy.
Right, I know you do.
I don't want to be part of a malpractice situation. I choose to believe they did the right thing at halftime against Buffalo.
You know what? So this is a really difficult situation for a rookie head coach.
How about any head coach?
Yeah, any head coach. Yeah. But, man, those guys that take those jobs, those are ridiculously hard jobs. I think of Andy Reid and what he's gone through with his son, for instance. There's stuff that happens, and what I'm suggesting is there's just stuff that happens.
Yes.
When there's a lot of humans involved. And they're in charge.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's in charge. Yep. Hey, Jake, he's not just in charge of the offense. He's in charge of the team. That's why Mickey, I think, is underpaid. That's another $33,000 a month.
Small stipend for being a head coach, right?
For that job you walked into?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, that's it? That's all he's getting is that per month?
That's it. Yeah.
I agree. I'm with you on that point.
Those jobs are ridiculously tough.
Yes, it is. It's tough.
Think about
what
he's going through right now.
Right.
See, nobody would have said, hey, Mike. I mean, probably people did say, hey, Mike, get ready. That job gets kind of weird sometimes. Well, this is an example. You don't know how it's going to work, where it's going to get weird. It might be your first game as a head coach gets canceled by a lightning storm.
Yeah, that to happen here.
Or it might be COVID hits.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know?
You're right. I mean, it's just everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You're worried about, number one, winning and what you have, but and things outside your control.
Yeah, and I'm not making excuses for Frost either. It's just there's a lot to manage. And sometimes you're dealing with stuff that has nothing to do with what to call in second and two, right? Now, think of what he's dealing with today. McDaniel.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, he hears everything you hear. People questioning him. Now the people are questioning him right out of the gate. And they're questioning him not on a, whether he should have passed on third and four.
They're questioning, should he have played a play or not?
Their question is character at this point.
You're right. That's
okay.
I choose
four games in, he's getting his character questioned.
Right, and I choose to believe the guy.
Right,
but I'm not everyone.
I mean, their question is honesty.
They are. You're
their
right.
question is integrity.
Exactly. That's tough. And it's not. And also, it's the fact that he is 3-1. If you can question that more of it, 0-4, 1-3, and people would say it'd be easier to pile on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, this guy's going to get fired. It's the fact they've had a good start. And now that comes into play.
Oh, man, that's rough. And he's a young guy.
He is. He's young 40, 42, 43.
Oh, okay. He's a little older than I thought.
I think he's in his young 40s. Yeah.
Oh, that helps.
All right. We'll move on from the Dolphins. I had to get that off my chest.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Because, I mean, I listened to all. I was slipping through the station this morning. It's all two.
Oh, I'm really interested in that now.
It's going to be
the
big story.
I'm not judging it either. I'm not judging because I don't know enough about it. I just know he's in a fix, that kid coach.
Yep.
And you hope Tua is okay.
Yep. But now they're just going to get attacked and say that they were wrong the whole time. I don't think that's fair. I mean, like I said, I'll eat crow if anything comes back that was very clear and obvious that the Dolphins messed up and were.
I don't think you're going to get some magical finding that's going to be one way or the other. That's what's going to be tricky about this, Jake. It's a medical issue with the brain. If you're a journalist if you're a sports writer for the Miami Herald, are you going to ask for the brain scan? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
How are you going to do it?
Well, they might just wait until the NFLPA does their investigation. I don't know. They should. They probably should ask for the brain scan. They should. 464-5685, call or text, as always. We do have a lot of text. I'm going to move on, though, because people are...
What are they saying?
Yeah. Toilet coasters.
Yeah, let's talk about
I'm sorry. This is the biggest story of the sports world last
night. Oh, I'm fascinated.
Yesterday, Sip, Trev Alberts was speaking at the Big Red Breakfast at Millard Social Hall up in Millard. I am very rattled. Yeah. I'm pissed. I'm bothered. I'm sad. I mean, it's a lot of emotions at the same time over here.
Right. Well,
now, there is something that I mentioned to you in a tweet from Trev Alberts yesterday that you responded to me last night.
Well, yes.
With something. Mm-hmm. Trev Alberts said, among other things, that Nebraska needs to be the premier development program in the Midwest, if not in the country, for Husker football. Which, of course, as you know, to me, was music to my ears because I think that they should embrace being a developmental program every single day. You're not going to get the five-star players here. Just embrace the fact you can take guys that are maybe under the radar and mold them into great players like Iowa, Wisconsin do.
Well, Ohio State does that. Everybody does.
Yeah, but they get a bunch of five stars, though. Ohio State's not loading
up on three stars. About that is it doesn't do much for me. It doesn't do nearly as much for me as it does for you because every program in America develops players. It's not a unique part of college football.
Some do it a lot better than others, though.
Right.
Like, and some have the talent to develop great. I'm saying take the guys that are under the radar. Stop paying so much damn attention to the stars and the recruits and find guys that love football and find guys that are under the radar. That's what I'm asking for. Is stop just admiring where you stand in the star ratings. It is one, as we point out, that is one data point.
It is a data
point. It's a data point. Yeah. It is not the end-all, be-all on the talent of a kid. It is a data point.
Right. No, you're right. You're right about that. I mean, what I text you is we've heard this before.
Yeah.
We have.
Who said
Mike
that?
Riley used to say it all. He wanted this to be the premier developmental program of the United States. I mean, why not? He said, "We're in the middle of America. We have the facilities, so it's something to say." And it, hey, listen, I do mean that. I'm not being difficult with you. Every coach in America tries to develop players. Every head coach, every assistant coach, every analyst—that's what they're put on earth to do: is develop players. It's not a unique concept.
But can you be elite at it though?
Yeah.
You could be better than the other teams,
mm-hmm.
which Nebraska was
I know what we're going to say. Iowa and Wisconsin are so good at it.
I just did say that. Yeah, they are. You're right. They are very good at it.
Other programs are
exceptional
good at
finding players that are under the radar mm-hmm. or diamonds in the rough mm-hmm. and making them great players.
Mm-hmm.
The Watts were both very overlooked players in high school that became all pros. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And it's not just those two. There's many guys that have that type of recruitment at Wisconsin that end up
in other
phenomenal
places.
And other places.
Right.
But looking in your own backyard, I guess, or your own division, Wisconsin and Iowa are very, very good at this.
Yeah, Nebraska has obviously fallen short in just about every area. And not only the acquisition of talent, but the retention of talent and the development of talent. Now there's cases where they've obviously developed players well. You can point to individual cases up and down the line, but clearly not enough. Clearly not enough. I mean, there's a lot of issues. When a football program goes wrong, you can't just say, well, it's development. Just like you just can't say it's recruiting. It's a lot of factors. We're learning a lot. We can learn a lot from what we've seen. God, I hope we are, right?
I hope so.
I mean, we've learned that it's very difficult to get it all rolling in the right direction. And with Nebraska, there's a lot of factors that have contributed to its demise. A lot of them. Some are easily identifiable. Some are more nuanced in nature. But there's a lot of them. And this is one of them. I mean, they haven't developed players like they should. They haven't recruited players at the rate that they should, and they haven't retained them at the rate that they should. Those are three major factors. They haven't. I think that the revolving door that's spun for so long has contributed to this incredible lack of direction in the program. It's wayward. It's a wayward program. I mean, it just seems like we're grasping at things now. Now you hope that Trev
gets it.
We don't even know. Like, I don't even know that the fan base understands what it wants, other than the one thing: to win. Right?
You're right. They don't know what they want besides winning, and that's what even Trev says. The quote: "Every single problem we face is solved with one word that has three letters: win."
Well,
that was a quote.
That's true. I mean,
but that's your point. We don't know what we want it to look like. Who the coaches? What's the way they operate? The offense and the defense, we have no idea. But no, everybody's on all sorts of different spectrums here.
That's what happens.
It's not healthy.
Not necessarily.
But that's not surprising here. You know,
it's interesting though. I mean, I find the conversation to be fascinating.
Of course, it is.
Because you know the Dolphins thing. I mean, you can bring it back to that. It's complicated. Football's complicated. See, the Dolphins are going well. It's going well. And then there's this wrench that gets thrown into it that you don't anticipate. Now, that's where your leadership better be good. It better be good. It better be really strong. And you got this rookie head coach who's now facing a firestorm.
And by the way, the owner is suspended from the facilities until like October 17th. Because of the tampering thing.
See, I only bring back the Dolphins into it because oftentimes you're dealing with a lot of unforeseen, and you better have really strong leadership to deal with the unforeseen. Because it's not just, you know, the one thing that this all ties together with Mickey and me, my contention that his agent did a poor job in negotiating this extra money he's receiving for being the head coach, $33,000 a month. So it'll be about $100,000 in addition to the $600,000 he's making in his previous role. It all points up to that job. That job is so complex. There's a lot of things that happen that, Jake, that don't involve what play call you're using or what tempo you're using, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of crap that comes at you.
Sure there is.
And it also goes back to that. See, what McDaniel's dealing with goes back to that conversation we had yesterday, which is, I don't want a head coach that has a play sheet and has to formulate a game plan. Because
Mike,
I know. So McDaniel's got to deal with that all week and all this other stuff. His attention is going to be for sure in two major different places.
Well, we're going to see how a rattled coach can fight through that.
Right.
He's rattled. He was rattled.
Of course he's rattled.
If you watched the press conference, he was, of course, rattled.
Yeah.
Because his quarterback, you know, is out.
And who they play next week?
The Jets.
Okay, but they got to come back and play another NFL team.
I mean, the Jets are not a horrible. They're better. Yeah,
they
got
to come back and play another NFL team, and he can't just take today off to regroup. maybe he could, I guess. They got a long week. But you think he's going to just take the day off today?
No, he can't take the day off.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, the fire just keeps coming.
Yeah, it does.
And with I mean, if you think about what a head coach deals with, even in easy times, okay, if you're a Mickey Joseph, you're dealing with probably a player or two that's disgruntled, not playing enough. Sometimes for instance, Mark Whipple the week of the Oklahoma game, your offensive coordinator misses two days of practice leading up to the game. That's the only play caller on the staff, by the way. He's not even at practice for two games because he's dealing with a personal matter. Okay, now what's the head coach? What do you do? You're the head coach. You got to figure that out. You got to get a game plan. You don't have anybody on the staff that's called a game. I mean, it's those things that come up. Player goes home because his mom's sick. You got to deal with that. A kid comes in and says, I'm failing my English class. It happens to be your starting running back.
Hmm.
I mean, that's not happened, but that's an
example.
There's a zillion things that happen. A zillion. That's why I don't want that. I don't want that coach calling plays.
Well, we'll see in Miami's instance how it goes with him with all this drama. It's a great test.
I
tend to believe still he's a good coach. I mean, it's obviously early, but I think that he seems like he's got it figured out. I don't know who that is. Someone is. It's probably Jay. I'm sure Jay has a comment about the Dolphins.
Okay.
But Gus is not here. I'm not taking the call right now. I'm heated. We'll get your phone calls next day when I can rush over there during the break and see who's calling.
Now I understand. I did not quite understand your original mood when I walked in.
You didn't know what happened last night?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, it should have been pretty obvious I was in a bad mood.
My
team lost the game. Number two, I'm getting criticized. I'm getting me. They're coming at me saying I'm a bad person. I don't make the decisions. I'm a fan of the football team. Come on.
Just
see my Twitter.
That
people are
sucks.
Saying, oh, your team's a joke. They're coming
sucks.
At me
that
saying
sucks.
I'm a bad person.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks. I'm sorry.
Thank you. One last thing from Trev yesterday before I move on that I think people were a little bit concerned about this quote.
What?
And I don't know if there's reasons to be concerned. Let me pull it up real quick. It didn't show up on the articles looking at there.
Okay.
This is regarding his thoughts on the job in general and the interest level. He says, Trev Alberts, quote, somebody is going to look at our job and say, wow, this is a diamond in the rough.
Ooh.
Now, I was a little bit alarmed by that quote as well, saying, oh, boy, this is not going as well as we wanted it to, is it, in the search?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I saw it like that. Isn't it?
What, how do you assess that quote? I mean, I don't know if you can view that in a completely positive light. I thought that was pretty alarming, saying someone's going to view this as a diamond in the rough.
We've been humbled.
We have.
Humbled to the point where now the AD is viewing the job as a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, he is.
Like, who else would you think of as a diamond in the rough in the college football world?
A coaching job?
Yeah. What would be a diamond in the rough? Would Minnesota be a diamond?
Right,
yeah. Would Minnesota be a diamond in the rough?
Well,
they're winning, obviously.
They're winning. Yeah.
I know, but it's not a...
Wouldn't a diamond in the rough be someone who's been there before?
Would Coastal Carolina be a diamond?
They're not a big-time program. They're in a small conference.
Yeah, I wondered what you thought about, would think about that.
Well, I thought it was a pretty...
What? Doesn't it just tell you where you're at?
Yeah. Well,
you don't like where you're at?
Right, you don't. But it also, for those who want to be pessimists, would say, oh, God, that's a pretty telling sign about the interest so far in the job. If you're saying if your AD is saying that someone's going to believe this is a diamond in the rough job.
Oh, I didn't read it like that.
Well, there's a lot of different people that respond differently.
I have to think.
Some people live their lives in alarmist fashion.
Yeah, I have to think that Trev Alberts has a person or two already not only in his sights, but maybe even something of an agreement, you know. Now, then trust becomes the issue. how much do you trust that party would follow through when other jobs open, etc. I can't believe that he's just winging this. Like,
I can't believe you would either, but I have no...
I guess I shouldn't say winging, but just going through it like, okay, well, there's this guy and there's this guy and this guy. I'll get to him later. I think it's already pretty set up is my guess.
More next on Early Break.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.